Hey, good morning, everyone. Get this right. I apologize. We had some technical difficulties on our side, but thank you for joining us. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. I lost some of my worship team, but that's okay. We're going to have Jordan's going to open us, and I think he's going to pray, and he's going to read the scripture. Okay? Jordan Ford.
Good morning, church. I'm going to be reading from Psalms 100. It reads, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with a singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. Now, we are going to transition into the prayer. If you would bow your hands, bow your heads, and join me. Lord, as we come before you today, we thank you for another opportunity to bask in your holy word. Lord, I would ask that in these times of sickness and disease, you renew us with your strength and guide us with your holy knowledge. We know that these times are rough, Lord, not only on our physical bodies, but on our spiritual ones as well. But the word says the walk of the believer is never easy. So as we take this walk, Lord, we know that you'll be with us step by step, renewing our faith in you. With this in mind, I pray to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to hand the service back in the hands of Pastor Ford.
Thanks, Jordan. Sure, as you guys noticed, Jordan's up and ready to go, and he still has his shorts on. Thank God for that. Hey, we're gonna get ready for the Word of God. I'm gonna bring a brief little sermon today, and then after this, Jamea come on, the First Lady. She'll have some remarks. She'll help us with the offering, and then we will conclude, okay? So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn in the Old Testament to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. There you will find the story of Naaman. I'm going to invite you to turn there. The Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at the story of Naaman. We're not going to look at it in its entirety. We're going to look at the first 15. Well, we're going to read the first 15 verses. That's what we're going to do. There's more to the story, but just in the interest of time, we won't be able to get it all. But 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. We're going to add to the witness this morning out of the book of Jeremiah, also in the Old Testament. Chapter 1, verse 5. So, you could turn there. That'll be helpful. First, let me start by thanking everyone for all of your wedding anniversary wishes. To those of you who knew or did not know, Jermaine and I celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary on Friday. That's why we were not able to join you guys for Bible study. We were practicing self-isolation in our own house. Jordan was responsible for the boys. Jermaine and I, we had some privacy in our own bedroom. We had chai for, meaning we were just away from the kids. We were self-isolated. No kids, no homework. We had Thai for dinner, which was very nice. Jordan treated us to green tea ice cream, which was a treat, for our dessert. So we had a great time. And with that, I'm going to say, even though we are all practicing social distancing, remember to celebrate the special days. Remember to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries and special moments. Let's not let the current condition keep us from celebrating, okay? Also, on special days, I know there were a couple birthdays. I saw on the waiver line, Cassandra had a birthday on Friday. I know Jessica had a birthday last week on the 10th. I believe John Mitchell's birthday is today. And so there's a lot of folks I know who have birthdays coming up, special days. And again, just remember to celebrate them. I also would be remiss if I didn't thank Lillian, Jemay, and Zakia for putting together a wonderful Women's Month. Even though it's not ending the way we had envisioned, we still thank God for their labor of love, not just to the Women's Fellowship, but to the entire body of Christ at Taylor Tabernacle. And so we thank them. We also want to thank Deaconess Lillian and Sister Barbara for their sermons on the past two Sundays. If you've missed them, you've missed a lot as they helped us celebrate Women's History Month. So we want to thank them for what they have done in terms of sharing the Word of God for us. We want to thank Jemay, who set up our conference call Bible study line. It has allowed us to use that over the past several weeks for our Bible study. And thanks to all of the people who have been signing in and joining up and participating not only in the Bible study, but in the prayer as well. Thank you for doing that. And as a reminder, at the conclusion of this sermon, we will be rebroadcasting the audio version of this sermon on our conference line. For those who don't have a laptop or internet access, you can dial back into the conference line and hear the audio broadcast of this sermon at 1 o'clock today. Amen? And then lastly, I'll say this before we get to the Word of God. We have to give a big shout out to Reverend John Curidan, who has really helped us in the area of our technology for our ministries. It's really in times like this that we really appreciate his forethought and that we are able to continue to worship and fellowship together in some manner by utilizing YouTube Live. So we really want to thank John for that. We want to thank the AV team. So glad that Kirby has been added to the AV team, and as of today, Jemay has been added to the AV team. So John's ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. So we want to thank God for everybody who's been a part of getting us logged in and online and allowing us to worship and study the Word of God. Amen? So good. So hopefully I bought you some time. Hopefully I stalled long enough to get you to where we need to be. And if you are in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, again, we're just going to be reading verses 1 through 15, and then we'll flip over to Jeremiah. Amen? So here we go. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria," which is another name for Israel, "for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and he told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." And then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And so he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of leprosy." Verse 7, "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a letter to me to heal him of this leprosy? Therefore, consider and see how he quarrels, see how he seeks a quarrel with me.'" What the king is saying as a result of this letter, in realizing that Syria was a larger and more powerful nation than Israel, the king is saying he just sent this letter and this man so that he could start a war with us, so that he can come in and destroy us. Now pick it back up, verse 8. "And so it was, when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be made clean.' But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy.'" What Naaman is saying, that this guy, this prophet, should have realized I'm an important man, and he should have at least given me the common courtesy of at least coming out of his house and then perform some kind of big ceremony in order that I might be healed. If you understand the text, Naaman went to Elisha's house, and Elisha didn't even come out the house. If you read it further, you understand he sent his messenger out, Gehazi, and the guy came out and said, "Yeah, go wash in the Jordan." Essentially, that's what he's saying if you're following the text. Then about verse 12, so now this is Naaman again. He said, "Are not the Abanah and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He said, "Wait a minute, if I had to wash in a river, why didn't he just send word and I stay in Damascus? They have better rivers, cleaner rivers, they flow better, versus coming all the way here to Israel and washing in the muddy waters of Jordan." He said, "This don't even make any sense." And look what it says. So he turned and went away in a rage. Now his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Simply wash and be made clean?'" And so he went down, and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was made clean. Verse 15, "And so he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and he stood before him, and he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth, except in Israel.'" That's the word of the Lord. Now, let's just add to the witness out of Jeremiah 1 and 4. Familiar, Jeremiah 1 and 5. You guys know this passage by heart. And this is the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. And he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and said, before you were born, I had sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. That's the witness out of Jeremiah. And so I want to talk to you this morning out of this story about Naaman's life. And I want to use the subject, you were made for this. Now, if we were back at our church, I would have my slides up on the big screen. And one of the things you would notice about my slide, I would have my subject there, you were made for this, but I spell made, M-A-I-D. You were made for this. And I choose that spelling because even though this story focuses on Naaman, who is the primary character, in keeping with Women's History Month and honoring great women, for those of you that have been with us all month long, you know that I have been preaching about nameless women in the Bible. Women who show up within the canon of Scripture, yet we are not given their name. I believe we started out the month by talking about Lot's wife. We followed that up with a sermon on Lot's daughters. And so I want to conclude this month by talking about the little maid in Naaman's house. Are you with me on that?
Amen.
So here we go. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to focus on the first four verses, because though I am tempted to preach Naaman, I don't want to preach Naaman. I'm going to let some of the other preachers pick that up one Sunday, because Naaman's story would preach any Sunday of the year. But I want to focus on this little character on who the whole story of Naaman hinges, and that is on the little maid girl. So look, let's look at verse 1. And it says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, said he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, and that because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper. So let's look at Naaman. This verse opens up and it tells us some things about Naaman. First, it tells us that Naaman was commander of the army of Syria. And that title, commander of the army, meant he was the highest ranking officer in the entire military force for all of Syria. That means he was the top dog. No one stood next to Naaman, greater than Naaman, save the king himself. He was commander of the army of Syria. Then it goes on to let us know that Naaman was a great man. And that means he had high social standing and was a man of great prominence and importance. That means everybody knew who Naaman was. Everybody knew who Naaman was. Then it goes on to let us know that Naaman was an honorable man in the eyes of his master. That means he was highly regarded by the king. And if you really want to be a blessing in your life and in your life to others, always remember it's always more important what people over you think of you than what people under you think of you. Oftentimes we get that backwards, and we're often more concerned about what all the naysayers, all the peons, all the people who have no impact on your life, we give more attention to what they say and how they feel, when in reality the proper way to view things is it's really only what matters most is those that are over you. Why? Because the people over you can bless you. People underneath you can't bless you. People underneath you can't lift you up or support you. It is only when someone greater than you points you out that promotion comes, right? And so Naaman had the honor and the respect, not only of all the people, but the Bible said, most importantly, he had the honor and respect of his master, the king of Syria. So he was an honorable man. Then it says here that Naaman also was a mighty man of valor. That means Naaman could fight. It means that Naaman was a guy you didn't fool with. You couldn't become the commander of the king's army and not be able to wield a sword, not be able to do hand-to-hand combat, not be able to know how to fight. You couldn't become a commander of the king's army if you weren't a strategist, an intelligent man, and know how to deploy armed forces and know how to assess your enemy and how to go into battle in such a way as to bring victory for your king and for your nation. Naaman was that guy. He was a mighty man of that. Naaman was the kind of guy that every other guy wanted to be like. Naaman was the kind of guy that every boy looked at and wished he could be one day when he grew up. Why? Because Naaman was a mighty man of valor. And this term also means a term used in the Old Testament. It both meant a man of great wealth and also a courageous warrior. So not only was he a courageous warrior, Naaman was paid. Okay? He was not the average Joe. Naaman was paid. The king had rewarded him for all of his victories, all of his successful battles. The king had given great wealth to Naaman. Okay? But in this long list of all his great accomplishments, this resume of all his successes, the verse 1 ends with this phrase. It says, but he was a leper. Naaman was the commander of the army, but Naaman was a great man, but Naaman was an honorable man in the sight of the king, but Naaman was a mighty man of valor, but Naaman was a leper. Severely mitigating all of his great accomplishments and all of Naaman's great attributes was the fact that Naaman was a leper. And a leper means he had a skin disease called leprosy. And this skin disease, it was incurable. In biblical times, the Israelites believed that leprosy was both a punishment for sin and a divine curse because it was chronic and incurable. It was a chronic and incurable disease. If you ever came down with leprosy, you became a social outcast. No one wanted to touch you. No one wanted to be around you. You didn't even have to practice social distancing because no one wanted to be where you are. They were afraid to touch you. They were afraid to come near you, fearing that what you have might get on them. So Naaman was a great man. Naaman was commander of the army. Naaman was honorable. Naaman was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. As great as Naaman was, he still had a but in his life. And all the but is that he had a contradiction. And isn't Naaman like many of us today? Our resume is long and our resume looks good and we put all of our great stuff out on Facebook and out on social media and everybody see all the good stuff, all the nice stuff, all the great stuff. But how many of you will say amen this morning and realize that all of us have a but? Everybody's got a but. Great man of God, but. Oh, beautiful first lady, but. Oh, look at them. They got a great house. Oh, they got great kids. What? But their marriage is hell. Everybody's got a but somewhere in their life. Oh, he's a great businessman. He's a great entrepreneur. But he's an alcoholic off the clock. Oh, man, he can do this. He can do that. But nobody knows he does drugs. So no matter who you are, no matter how great you are, no matter how insignificant you are, everybody has a but. And I'm just not talking about if my nana were here, she would refer to your behind, your butt as your behind or your backside. So I'm not talking about your backside. I'm talking about the butts of life, the contradictions. I'm talking about the stuff you don't want no one else to know. The butts of life, that's not the stuff you put out on social media. That's not the stuff you put out on Facebook. You don't tweet about your butts. You don't send out emails about your butt. But we all what? Have them. Now, I don't know who's watching this with you in your home, but if someone's there is watching this, with, just touch them and say, hey, we're going to talk about your butt. Yeah, that's Jermaine's laughing. She's laughing because we're talking about your butt. So look, so we got that. Now let's go to verse 2 because I'm on a time crunch. They didn't give me much time. I wasted all my time in the beginning with this technology. But here we go. Now we're verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. So now we just spent a whole lot of time talking about Naaman. Now let's talk about this little girl. So the Bible tells, this verse tells us a couple things about it. Number one, it tells us that the little girl, she was a prisoner of war. The Syrians had gone out on raids and they'd taken it. That means she was taken forcibly from her home. The text also tells us that the little girl, she was a foreigner in a strange land. Naaman lived in Syria, but they had gone in raids in Israel, and in one of those raids, they had taken this little girl from her home, from her country, and brought her back to Syria. Not only was she a prisoner of war, not only was she a stranger, the Bible also tells us she was a slave. Look what the text says. They brought back captives. That means she was brought back slave. She was forced into servitude. The little girl, not only was she a prisoner of war, not only was she a foreigner in a strange land, not only was she a slave, but it also tells us she was young. No matter which country she would have found herself in, Syria or Israel, her age was against her. She was a young girl. She didn't have a voice. She didn't have an opinion. No, she wasn't allowed to speak in social circles. Compounded by the fact, not only was she young, but compounded was the fact that she was a girl. Not only was her age against her, her gender was against her. She was a little girl living in a big man's world. And then it also tells us, lastly, that she was a maid to Naaman's wife. It wasn't like she was brought back and she was given some type of important job. She was given some type of social status. No, she went to serve in a rich man's house. And look, she didn't even get to serve the man in the house. She got to serve the woman of the house. She was a maid to Naaman's wife. At that period of time in history, the maid was the lowest job anyone could have. She's a prisoner of war. She's a foreigner in a strange land. She's a slave. She's young and she's a girl, both things going against her. And to top it off, the best she can do for herself is to be a maid to Naaman's wife. But just like Naaman had a butt, this little girl also had a butt. And her butt was that she still believed in the God of Israel. Overshadowing everything that was against her, her age, her gender, her position, the fact that she was slave, she still had faith in the God of Israel. I told you this morning we're going to talk about some butts. We looked at Naaman. Naaman had a butt. He was a leper. We looked at this little maid girl. Her whole life was against her, but she too had a butt in her life, and that butt was the God of Israel. And I'm going to prove to you that she had faith in it. Now let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 and then verse 4 and then we'll be done with it. Here it is. Verse 3 says, then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, Samaria was another name for Israel. For he would heal him of his leprosy. Now, because of her position in the house of Naaman, the little maid girl who was made to his wife, she got to see Naaman's butt. Every morning when Naaman got up and got dressed and went ready to go to work, Naaman would put on a shiny helmet. He had a significant helmet. That's how you knew he was the captain of the king's army. When Naaman would go out the house, Naaman would put on a gold breastplate that when he walked down the streets of Samaria, the sun would glisten off of Naaman's breastplate. When Naaman went to work every morning, Naaman would have a sword hanging off his hip, a sword made out of gold, a sword probably with made out of precious metal, a sword that probably had important inscription on it, and everybody would see that sword, and everybody would ooh, and everybody would ah, because that was the sword that Naaman used to win victories for Samaria, and everybody saw Naaman coming. And they saw his helmet, and they saw his breastplate, and they saw his sword, and all the little boys oohed and ah, and all the women admired him. And all of the men were player haters against him, but everybody saw how good and how important Naaman was. But when Naaman went home, Naaman took his helmet off. When Naaman would finish battles, he would go back home and he would take his breastplate off. And he would take his sword out of the sheath and he would sit it down and he would take off the belt around his waist. And it was at that moment that his wife and this little maid girl could see the leprosy on the skin of Naaman. And though he had gotten the battle, and though he was the big man on campus, everyone in Naaman's house got to see his butt. Always remember, I know you may shine up the brass and shine up your gold and everybody see the good stuff. The people closest to you often see your butt. They often see your butt. And so this little girl, she saw Naaman's butt. She knew what everyone said out in Samaria. She knew how he was respected. She knew he was a great man. But when he came home, the little maid saw his butt. And over time, the little girl began to love Naaman. And you need people close to you who love you, because when they see your butt, they won't kill you. This little girl could have sent out messages and said, hey, I want y'all to know, yeah, y'all think all of this is Naaman, but he's not a such and much. He's got a butt. Yeah, you guys can't see it under all that gold and under all that silver and on that breastplate and that helmet. You got a minute, but he's got a butt. No, this little maker, she never said that. But she secretly longed for Naaman, because as great as Naaman was, she knew that Naaman could actually be greater. So she finally comes up to her mistress one day after serving in Naaman's house. She said, I tell you what. She said, I wish to God Naaman would go to the land of Samaria. I wish Naaman would go back to my home country of Israel. Why? Because there is a prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman of his leprosy. That's how I know she loved Naaman, because she didn't try to destroy him. She wanted the best for him. She wanted him to be healed. She wanted him to get help. And the greatest help she knew was not from any doctors in Samaria, not from any priest in Israel, but she said, there is a prophet back in Israel. And she said, I don't know. I know he's a big man. He's an important man. But I tell you, if Naaman would ever go back to Israel, there is a prophet who would heal him of his leprosy. So the little maid had faith in God for Naaman's healing. Okay? Now verse 4, this is the end of it. We're gonna end here. I'm not gonna preach Naaman's story. We're just talking about the little maid. So here it is, verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, meaning the king of Syria, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Now, even if we were in person, I can tell you guys didn't get that. Naaman, the mighty man of valor, Naaman, the captain of the king's army, goes and seeks an audience with the king, not to tell him what another king has said, not to tell him what some other dignitary has said, not to bring to him counsel of other wise men in Syria. Naaman goes to his boss and said, a little maid in my house said thus and thus. Oh my God, I'm getting happy off my own preaching. Look, you did, read it again. Verse 4. And Naaman went in and told, I mean, he asked for an appointment. This wasn't something that just they were eating lunch and he had, no, he got an appointment. He got on the king's schedule. So I want an appointment. I got to see the king. Because he was an important man, the king granted him an audience, came into his presence and said, Naaman, what is it? I don't really allow people to come in on me, but because of who you are, the relationship we have, and because of what you've done for me as a king and us as a nation, what do you want to talk to me about? The floor is yours. The mic's open. Speak your piece. And you would think Naaman would come in and say something significant and say something important or represent a message from someone important. Naaman leaned over and told the king, I've got a little maid in my house. And she has said that there is a prophet back in Israel. Are you guys with me on this? Now look at this. So Naaman takes the words of the little maid to the king of Syria. Now we read the story, and so you know how the rest of the Naaman's life going. Again, I'm not preaching Naaman today. I'm preaching the little maid. So I'm not going to read that. I'm going to stop here. And but we know that Naaman's life was radically changed based on the word of a little maid. All because a little girl from Israel, now watch it, I'm going to tie it in here, this is it. All because a little girl from Israel was a maid, M-A-I-D, in Syria, and because she was made, M-A-D-E, by the God of Israel for such a time as this. Jermaine, the only one I got to help me. All my boys done checked out. But at least I got one amen. Jermaine gave me an amen. So look, so I know you're in your house and you got your slippers, your pajamas on. If there's anyone else in your house, you've got to touch them and tell them, I was made for this. Yeah. This little girl was made for this. Not only was she a maid, but by the hand of God, she was made for such a time as this. I'm looking at the chat line, and I'm seeing, Pastor, I'm here by myself. Look, so if you don't have no one else there, look, you can either slap your dog, you can rub your cat. Look, press the toaster down and tell the toaster, I was made for this. I was made for a time like this. I was made for a season like this. I was made for a moment like this. I know you wouldn't think that because of my position, because of my background, because of my stake in life, but God has declared to me I was made for such a time as this. Hey, now let's look at this little girl before we leave her. Look at the little maid. Look at the little maid. The little maid, even though her circumstances weren't great, check this out about her. She didn't get bitter, she got better. Wow. You would think being outside of Israel, being away from the Feast of Weeks, being away from the celebrations of Passover, being away from her own family, her own father, not being able to go to the temple, not being able to worship, not being able to sacrifice to God. You would have thought she would have looked at her life and had gotten bitter, but instead she got better. You would have looked at the little maid and said, oh my God, the one of the things I noticed about her, that the little maid, she didn't get resentful, she got resourceful.
She knew she didn't have an audience with Naaman. She knew she couldn't get to the king, but she got resourceful and said, I'm going to tell Naaman's wife, because if anybody can get the mighty man's ear, it's going to be his wife. This little girl became resourceful. The little maid, she didn't get fearful. She became more faithful. She never lost hope. She never lost faith. She still believed that there was a God in Israel and that this God had a prophet there named Elijah, that if he stretched out his hand, he could heal Naaman of his leprosy. Watch this. Even though no one in Israel had ever been healed of leprosy ever, the New Testament says, say his name. This was this little girl. Look at this. The little maid. She didn't give her life over to worrying. She gave her life over to being a witness. She became a witness for her God, even though she was in Samaria, even though she was a slave girl, even though she had to serve Naaman's wife. This little girl was a witness. And because of her faith, this witness of the little girl, the faith of this little maid, led to the mighty man of valor declaring, listen what Naaman said back over in verse 15. He said, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth except in Israel. So despite of her circumstances and her challenges, this little Israelite girl realized that she was made for this. Everything about Naaman's life, everything about Naaman's wife, all of it changed because the words of a little girl. So despite the buts and the contradictions in your own life, I want you to remember that God said you were made for this. Might I remind you what he told Jeremiah the prophet? He said, before you were even born, I knew you. Before you were even in your mother's womb, I had already shaped you. I had already created you. Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet, but I got a little girl over in Israel. She's going into Samaria and serve in Naaman's house, but I've already made her for this moment. All the things that have happened to her, everything she's gone through was shaping her and molding her and creating her for such a time as this. Somebody in your house say, I was made for this. Just like the little maid girl, so am I. Somebody somewhere give the Lord a praise. Look at here. The blue of the text says, you shall live and not die. And you shall declare the very works of the Lord. So I came to tell you this Sunday, Corona won't kill you. COVID-19 won't be your demise. Why? Because God made you for such a time as this. The whole world may be going to hell in a handbasket, but God made you for this. God saw it coming. God sent you here. God is shaping you because you were made for this. Everything about you, everything about your body, everything about your mind, everything about your past, everything that lies in your future, it's God preparing you. You were made for such a time as this. Somebody somewhere say yes. Pastor, how can you say that? You don't know my story. You don't know my background. Pastor, I don't even go to your church. I just saw the YouTube channel and I hopped on. I can tell you because God, he's sovereign. God, he's over everything. God, he's over everybody. He's over the king of Syria. He's over the king in Israel. And if God raises you up, and if God prepares you. It's a sign that you have been made for this. You shall live and not die. You won't be destroyed regardless of what Corona does. Even if you lose your job, even if you use your benefit, you were still made in the hand of God. You were still shaped by the Holy One of Israel. Tell somebody, I was made for this.
I was made
for this. So wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, you ought to stop and give the Lord some kind of praise.
Yes.
Tell you ought to shout in your living room. If you're not shouting now, you ought to start shouting.
Yes.
Shout in your living room. Dance in your kitchen.
Yes.
Give him glory out in your garage. You ought to take a praise lap around your house. Why? Because now I know I was made for such a time as this. That's why I was born into this generation. That's why I was born into this season. God saw Corona coming, and he sent me like the little maid to be made and be ready for a time like this. Don't give up your witness. Don't give up your testimony. Don't give up your faith. Even though times are hard, even though life is difficult, tell the devil, I was made. I was made. I was made for a time like this. I'm finished with it. That's it. You read the rest of Naaman's story. You never hear from the little maid ever again. Three verses, three short paragraphs, and she changed the life of the mighty man of valor. Just like God used her, God also wants to use you at a time like this, at a time when the world has come to a standstill, time when it seems like all hell is broken out. I'm always amazed. If you tune in every hour, there's something new on the news. And it caused me to realize, don't nobody know what's going on. They don't know where Corona came from. They don't know how to cure it. Folks don't know anything. And I'm telling you, it's times like this where we trust in God. It's times like this where it makes you hunker down on your faith. And it's times like this, if you'll listen to him, he'll let you know you were made for this.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to go into a rage. You don't have to go and hide. I'm telling you, God has made you for such a time as this.
Amen.
That concludes the sermon. I hope it's blessed you. I hope it said something that might encourage you. I'm looking at our chat line, and so many folks have logged in. Hey, I just want to offer a call to salvation. You're here with us this Sunday, and you don't know the God in Israel, nor have you known his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you this Sunday to say the sinner's prayer. I'm going to invite you to give you a chance to say, you know what? I want to know this little girl's God. I want to know this prophet's God who was able to turn the mighty man of valor's life around. If you're here this Sunday, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Watch this. Or you can keep your eyes open. But if you're here and you want to accept Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat these words after me. This is the sinner's prayer. I want you to say, Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner, And I know that I deserve the consequences of my own sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. And I know that his shed blood, his death, and his resurrection have provided for my forgiveness. And so now I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, I'm here to tell you this morning, you were made for this. You were made for this moment. You were made to receive this message, and now you are a child of God. This is what I need you to do. If you've prayed that prayer this morning and you have accepted Christ, you've got to reach out and let me know about it. I'm inviting you to jump on our website, TaylorTabernacle.com. I want you to go to the Contact Us page. You go to that tab. You'll see in the one of the checkboxes that are available is I am interested in becoming a Christian. I want you to check that box. Leave us your contact information, your name, your phone number, your address. And more importantly, in the message, I want you to tell me, Pastor, today I became a Christian. I'm no longer interested in becoming a Christian, but today I accepted Christ, and I did it because I was made for this. Let us know about it. I want to hear from you. I want to get the email. If you say, Pastor, I don't have internet, and I'm not able to do that, call us on the church line, 215-748-4578. Leave a message in the general mailbox. Go to my personal Velma. Leave me a message. Say, Pastor, I got the word today, and I thank you for it. I almost gave up until you reminded me that I was made for this. I gave my life to Christ, and now I am part of his body. And so I just want to thank you for that. Reach out. Let us know. Thank you for joining. Taylor, thank you for joining. Thank you for your patience at the beginning. Thanks for all of my young adults being on. I see you out there. Thank God for all of my the young kids, young life experience. I see you on. You're on with your phones. You're on with your tablets. God bless you. Thank you for encouraging me. I got all the amens on the chat line. I got every last one of them. That's why I got so excited at the end. God bless you. Look, I'm just going to take a brief break. The first lady's coming on. Jermaine's coming on. And she's going to lead us in our offering. Okay? Thanks, everybody. I'll be back shortly.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle, family and friends. Good morning. Well, I don't know about you, but I am excited. That word was some kind of word. It was a word not only for the women, for a woman of worth, are you out there? That was a word for us. That was a great way, right, in these challenging times to say, Rona, you don't stop. You don't stop the message. You don't stop God delivering his word. He touched the man of God. He touched our very own pastor and gave us a word, not only for the women, but for everyone. I usually write notes down, and today was no exception of the number of notes that I had to write down. Just as a reminder to myself, I never thought that a nameless young woman, a maid in Naaman's household, could be an inspiration and an example to me. And I never thought of it. But thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. The little maid, she didn't get bitter. She got better. You know, Pastor helped us realize that she didn't get resentful. She got resourceful. I don't know about you, but that's speaking to me. She didn't get fearful. She got faithful. again, this is not just for the women of the tabernacle. This is for all of us, right? This is for each and every one of us, especially in the times that we are living. She didn't give her life over to worrying. She got down to the business of witnessing. Despite all of her circumstances, all of her challenges, she knew that she was made for a time like this. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I thank God. I thank God and I thank the pastor for being faithful to the word of God and to the word that he has given for the body of Christ. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thoroughly. And I needed that reminder that despite the time we're living in today, God's word, his promise is that I shall live and not die. Amen. Amen. I see you all out there. Good morning. Good morning. All right. So we are moving in now to offering and instructions for offering. You heard it last week when Deaconess Lillian Jones came and provided the word and also gave us instructions. This is a little different for many of us because we're so used to just giving in the basket with our checks. And you can still do that. You can still, hopefully we will get posted information. I think Reverend Cheriton is posting some additional information on the stream, if many of you are on the stream. Our address, if you're still comfortable with just sending your check as offering, you can do so. But there are other ways to do it. I, for one, for our household, I provide or handle the tithing. And, I am very much a technology person. So for the longest time, I don't write checks out. I have always, gone either online or given by text. And once you set that up for yourself, it's literally a 30-second transaction. So I want to share that with you today. So if you would like to, again, if you want to provide your tithes and offering by giving a check, you can send it by U.S. mail to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. But if, like me, you would like to provide your tithes and or your offerings, you can do so by text, by texting Taylor 61 to the following phone number. So Taylor 61, no space, to the following phone number. 73256. As soon as you do that, you'll get a link that is just for you to set up your account information and send your desired amount. It's very clear, it's very straightforward, it's very user-friendly for those of you who are not used to giving via text. You can also just go ahead and go onto the website, taylortabernacle.com, and there's a tab for giving, or you can just go taylortabernacle.com/giving, and it'll take you right to that tab, and then you can follow the instructions from there. So three different ways that you can give. Matriarch used to love to say, one monkey don't stop, no show. Corona's just one monkey. We got to keep it moving. This is just the new normal, okay? So those are three different ways. Text, go to the website, or just go ahead and use regular U.S. mail. Amen? Amen. And I see that some additional instructions are being posted. Okay, so with that, as you all have prepared yourself, you have your instructions, I'm going to go ahead and give a quick blessing and prayer over your offering. If all hearts and minds are prepared for that. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for this opportunity to continue with your business, Lord, of collecting tithes and offerings. We ask that you bless each and every one that is preparing to give today. We ask that you bless those who are making the sacrifice to do so, and bless those who are not able to do so today but have a heart to do so. We ask that you continue to bless them and give them the means and opportunity to do so in the future. We ask these and all things in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and give it over to the pastor so that he can close us out. Amen.
Thank you, Janae, for giving us those instructions and for that offertory prayer. We thank you for that. So now we'll have our benediction. And one of the things that I really miss doing, along with not seeing all of you, is having an opportunity to pray for you. So if you're there, you're part of the Taylor Tabernacle family. If you're not, a visitor or guest streaming in today, I'm also going to invite you to go to our website. And there is a tab there for prayer requests. And though we are not able to come together personally, come together as a congregation and as a family, still share with me, still share with the leadership your prayer requests. So go to the website. Go to the prayer request tab. If you have a need, an issue, some things going on in your life, drop us a line. Let us know about it to ensure that we can pray not only for you, but pray with you. The Bible tells us that a three-cord strand is not easily broken. So if you're praying, I'm praying, the membership is praying, the Holy Spirit is also a witness, that thing is going to get done in Jesus' name. So go there, let us know your prayer requests so that we can covenant with you in prayer. Amen? So now, if all minds are clear, Jamae mentioned the matriarch. We were talking about her this weekend, thinking about our wedding anniversary, being married and all that stuff. We got to thinking about the matriarch. And it just came to me, the matriarch used to have one of her favorite songs was, Lord, You Made Me Just What I Am. I could almost hear her on that organ singing. She started whipping that organ. She put her head back and she starts singing, Lord, You Made Me Just What I Am. And so that's the word of the Lord for you today. Amen. So with all our hearts and minds clear, this is the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and to your family. The Lord turn His face towards you, and above all, the Lord give you peace. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Just a reminder, at 1 o'clock, this, an audio broadcast of this entire sermon will be made available. So for our seniors, for those who don't have video, at 1 o'clock, the conference dial-in number again, 775-799-9141. All you got to do is dial it. You'll go right in. You'll hear the broadcast. Thanks, everybody. Be blessed. Be safe. And we'll see you again next Sunday here on Taylor Tabernacle Live.